ask, you know, Lord, we know not the way, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus kept saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when she gave me this morning, I thought about it, and I thought, he knew the way. He certainly knew the way. And when he told us, when life isn't a bed of roses, he taught from that. Remember who wore the thorns. He wore the thorns. You didn't wear them. I didn't wear them. He warned us they were coming, but he told us life wouldn't be a bed of roses. That's a very old expression. It's based on Scripture. It's always meant a lot to me, but this time of year it means more than any other time. I never thought that I would, in my last days, want to die and go to heaven just as soon as God would take me. I never thought I'd want that. After wars and different problems and raising children, somehow I realized that was what I was supposed to want. And I realized that there was a part of me that did want that. But there was a part of me that really didn't when I was young. This is my goodbye to you. I don't know how much longer I'm going to live, but I don't think it's going to be very long. I've seen too many people die. But I've never been so happy as I am this morning. I've been waiting for Bashar Assad to die. And I was hoping to know which door he would want to come in. And I told Bashar, I said, listen, boy, you ain't got much time left. So I would advise you to go in the back door. And Bashar has had a voice change, so this will remain a mystery for the next few minutes. That's too young to be Bashar Assad. So I have been waiting. I'm serious now with all of my heart. I came up here in 1974. Lord, I'm amazed I remember that much. I came up here in 1974, and they called me, and I answered the call and came. And I just couldn't wait to start serving Jesus. And the more I learned about myself, the more ashamed I was of myself as a servant, and the happier I was about having him as a master and learning about him. And so I had a wonderful wife, so I was ecstatically happy. I asked God many times to take her ahead of me, and he did. And so I've missed her. Well, I'm going to tell you something, and I don't think I'm wrong in telling you. I have finally actually been able to move this thing together enough to where I have an excellent idea as to the time frame that Jesus is coming in. I can't give you the hour. I can't give you the day, the week, the month. I can't even give you the year. But I'm going to tell you when I believe it will occur in a general time frame, and I'm going to tell you why. When I came here, there were certain things I knew about people that had to be out of pocket, gone. Their lives had to be finished before it could occur. There were several things I was certain of. I got to know quite a bit about Bashar Assad's father. His name was Assad. And I had operated in the intelligence service while he was the president of Syria. I knew what went on in a lot of different places. And every time they would have a big meeting over there, we would get the Jordanians to collect the bowel samples when he would go to the bathroom over there and the conveniences they had for it. And we would very carefully analyze that. I didn't analyze any of it. That was not my job. My job was to analyze certain other things, but not bowel movements. So I was directly involved in a lot of this stuff, and it was kind of funny. But there was a lot of things that weren't funny, and there were a lot of things that I knew, and a lot of things I know now about all that time period that are quite frightening. I'm telling you all this because it's finally come. The time has finally arrived where I can tell you about how much time you have, and I can be relatively certain of it. I had been waiting for a long time for Assad himself, not Bashar, who had not yet ascended to the leadership, but for his father to be wiped out. His father finally died, a natural event. So I wondered, how long is it going to be before his son is replaced? I did a long study on him. He's a dentist. You have to be pretty smart to be a dentist. And so he came and accepted the throne. His older brother was Duzus accepted, but he was killed by drug agents in Libya before his father died. And so all of a sudden, there I was with a ready-made Antichrist. But I had studied for years the characteristics of the Antichrist, and he had to possess these because the scriptures said so. And I carefully and with great effort, with great honesty with myself and God, took what was written about it in the scriptures and did not interpret them to where it would give me a more favorable opinion with men, but where it would say what it really said. So I settled back for a long winter's nap, figuring in a few months or years, his son Bashar will either be assassinated, deposed, carried into a foreign country where he'll live. After 3 months passed, I thought, what in the dickens is happening here? He's still in office. I would say that over 100 times in all the stuff I put out at different times, I told people, Bashar Assad is not the Antichrist, but the Antichrist will replace him. And if we want to see the Antichrist, we've got to wait for Bashar Assad to be replaced, removed, exiled, whatever you want to call it. It just didn't happen. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. But I knew it had to happen. The other thing that bothered me, I had no problem with believing the scripture. But the timing of when it was going to begin was the thing I had the most trouble with. So I carried it right up to 2006. I didn't tell him he was coming in 2006 or anything like that. Kept right on telling him. I couldn't exactly tell when he was coming. Well, finally in 2006, I came out and I said, look, I'm just going to stop talking about this for a while because there's some things going on that I have to get reconciled in my own mind because I'm not quite sure if this is what God means. Well, after a while, and during the events of the last years between 2006 and the present, I came to a conclusion. I guarantee you it's the correct conclusion. I guarantee you it's going to turn out to be right. So I'm going to tell you what it is. I'm not going to give you a day, a week, a month, or a year, but I'm going to tell you, it is. I've got this thing pinned down by the Scriptures, from what I've studied from them and what I've been waiting for years. I do not expect to be here next Easter. If I have not died between now and Easter, I can't interpret Scripture worth a flip. I won't be here. I'll be gone. I'm going to die. When I die, I'll miss you guys a lot. But I'll be looking forward to seeing Jesus first. Then all those people that have had an affair or effect in my life since that time. I'm ready. I'm anxious to go. So that's out of the way now. And I'm telling you that. I think that between now and next Easter, the rapture is going to occur. I don't know when, I don't know why, I don't know how. But Bashar Assad is not the Antichrist. I've said that all these years. Now, I know I'm right. So after my demise, watch whoever becomes the ruler of the known as the King of the North. And watch the King of the South, who will be Israel. And watch to see when the King of the South, Israel, attacks the King of the North, who will be a consolidation of several different nations. In the first book I ever wrote, in the very first chapter or so, I told people which nations they would be that would form the consolidations, one in the North and one in the South. I have not changed my opinion since I wrote that first book. Everything is now coming into place. You will soon see Bashar Assad gotten rid of either by assassination, exile, or some kind of a consolidated agreement. But he will no longer be the ruler of Syria. The Russians, Chinese, probably the United States also, and the United Nations will have some input into it. And the actual ruler of Iran will have a part in it. And a man will be chosen who will eventually gain the respect of this wild conglomeration of nations. And you will find that wild conglomeration of nations to have a king of the North who will be a conspiracy of Islamic nations to the north of the Israeli border. And you will find that the king of the South will be represented by Israel, who will have Arab nations backing him, because even though they are Islamic, they're just like you and I are down inside. We're basic cowards. And they are looking for a way out of this. And the only way they have out of this is to find someone that can defeat this leader who is to come. So we can debate this, talk about it forever. You're not going to hear me talk about that much anymore, because I've told you what's going to happen. You're going to actually see a ruler arise that will replace Bashar Assad. You're going to see a king of the North, Israel, collect a consolidation of Islamic nations that are tended toward favoring their own preservation. And they will join with Israel against them. And we've got some time before that occurs. But before next April, the rapture will occur. You say, when? I don't know exactly when. But I believe it's going to occur between now and the 1st of April. You say, well, what are you going to do if it doesn't? It will. Before next, Easter. So before now and next Easter, you're going to have to tell me goodbye. And quite frankly, I'm actually looking forward to it. I'll miss you guys. I'll miss you a lot. But I got some people waiting for me in heaven I'm anxious to see. And the one I'm most anxious to see is Jesus. Because I'm kind of curious if I've got some more things that he'll teach. I'm kind of curious what it's going to be like there to be up with him. Following judgment, I'm looking forward to that time too. Now, as to what's going to happen down here after my departure, you're going to have a man arise in the Middle East that will be the Antichrist, and he will be a leader of a northern confederation known, and we know him in Scripture as the King of the North. He will control a conglomeration, whatever you wish to call it, a conglomerate or a conspiracy or whatever you want to put on it, whatever name, of nations that really hate the United States and nations to the south that favor the United States and a mixture in between. I expect between next Easter, I'm not talking about next week, but the week after that, and the end of the tribulation period, I expect the rapture to occur, and I expect it to be a mass era of confusion. Now, the reason I'm telling you this, you've known me all these years. I'm not trying to scare you. But whatever you intend to do in your work for the Lord, whatever you intend to do in your life for the Lord, you had better start doing it, because it's between you and the Lord. But I will tell you something about this church. For the people in it that are saved, they need to be a part of it by scriptural baptism. For those who are saved and scripturally baptized, they need to start trying to figure out what it is God wants them to do in this life, in this church, at this time. I can't tell them except this. He told the disciples, the first New Testament church, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. He meant what he said. He said then, go ye therefore, conclusion, therefore, since all power in heaven and earth unto me, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach them what? Baptism by immersion, by the authority of the church, and to learn to serve me in spirit and in truth. What else are you supposed to do? Well, he gave it to the church. He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you, even to the end of the age. Well, here you are. You're face to face with not me, but with the word, what the word of God says. So many people go through life. They keep on trying to find what God wants them to do. So what am I asking you to do? Nothing except what the Word says. If you're not already saved, you need to get saved. This is the right place to get saved, because this is where God extended His grace to men and women so they could be saved. And you need to be saved. You need to come to Christ repenting and confessing your sins. If you've done that, you need to unite with this church, or one that is of like faith and order. And when Jesus comes, you need to have been already scripturally baptized. Now, if you think I'm trying to con you into being baptized, Oh, are you wrong? Because I have to answer to Jesus Christ. And I guarantee you, if I con you into being baptized, I'm in trouble. And I know it. But if I tell you the reason you're supposed to be baptized after you're saved, you're in trouble if you don't. It's that plain and it's that simple. Now, I've told you how much time I think you have left. You say, well, Brother McElmurray, if you're wrong and it occurs on Monday, God's going to get you. Oh, I don't doubt that. But I've told you it could happen on Monday. It could happen any time during the next 2 years. And it will occur at some point in time. Make up your mind to start doing what God wants if you're already saved. You say, well, what does he want? He wants your life to be clear of any infraction that would not be in accordance with what he wanted you to do after you were saved. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. When I first came up here, I confess I didn't know much. But now I know I don't know much. But I know more than when I came up here. I'm going to show you some things that I taught when I came up here. This is in the last century. So, since some of you have come here, you've heard about the progressive Jesus as the progressive Savior, the progressive seed. I've taught you about God and everything. It may interest you. I took it straight out of the ABA book when I came up here. I'm going to show you one from the last century. After I got well enough educated to make slides and put them on there and make them myself. And I'm going to show you what I taught. It's not newfangled. It's oldfangled. All I did was teach what they were already teaching in some seminaries before I came down here. And all I did was to teach what God had to say about it. So let's just talk about this because it's right here where we need to take a look at things. And I'm going to talk about the life of Jesus from his... I'll mess this up, Terry. From his resurrection to his return. Matthew 28:26. Now remember, this is not... See that stuff on the side? I made that up and put it on there. Boy, I was proud of myself. I didn't know how to do stuff like that. I just knew how to take the word, preach it line by line, verse by verse. I still don't know how to do that too well. But you can look at it for yourself. This is about Jesus Christ from his resurrection to his return. Matthew 28:6. This is the reply of the angel to the disciples who had come to see him and the women. He is not here, for he has risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Matthew 23:38-39. These are some of the last words he spoke on earth. He said, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Spiritually desolate. So why am I showing you that? Do not be found serving in a spiritually desolate church when the Lord comes. You say, well, how will I know which one is desolate? If they are not teaching the Word of God, if they are not teaching it, Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. That's what he said. Then he indicated that all power in heaven and his earth is given unto me. He said, therefore, he indicated that we were to baptize all those who came to us and we were to do it correctly. This church has never changed the method of baptizing since Jesus organized it, or the ones that it came out of. He said, for I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. He told Israel, you've rejected me. You've rejected my son. He said, ye shall not see me henceforth. Ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That was written in the New Testament. But I want to show you what was written about it by Micah. And I want you to remember that Micah was contemporary with and wrote at the same time that Isaiah wrote. I want you to know that Daniel wrote about 100 years after Micah. And I want you to know that Paul wrote during the ministry that was assigned to him by the Lord. So here we go. Micah 5, 1 through 4, plus Daniel 7 through 14, plus Ephesians 3, 21. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. Who is this that's supposed to gather thyself in troops? Who is this that is supposed to be the city known as the daughter of troops? He, God, hath laid siege against us. Why would God lay siege against his own people, the daughter of troops? They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. My goodness. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth, that is, to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up. Until the time that she which travailed hath brought forth. Even the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. They gave him up. Israel gave him up. She gave him up. Until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. She has not brought forth her Messiah, that she herself has personally recognized him as her Messiah. Then the remnant of his brethren. Look over in Hebrew where it talks about the church of the firstborn. Jesus was the firstborn among us. There's coming a time when the remnant of his brethren, and we are that, shall return unto the children of Israel. What's supposed to happen? And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord. Well, how much strength is that? And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord. That's Daniel, that's Micah 5, 1 through 4. Notice what it says. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord and the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and he shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. That's a millennial reign. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, that will not be destroyed. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. There have been a lot of people that have spent an awful long period of time arguing over the interpretation of scriptures. And man pretty well has it so juggled up that it's awfully hard to understand the importance of the local church. You say, who caused that? The devil. What was the first thing the devil was going to go after? What the church taught. When did Jesus organize the first New Testament church? During his earthly ministry. Was there ever a testimony that Mary was perfect in all her ways and that she never sinned, she never made any mistakes? No, it was written about Mary that Mary was to be very special among all women, that she should be honored among all women. But that, not that she should be worshipped. If you are in a church that worships the Virgin Mary, is it possible you can still be saved? Absolutely. Is it possible that you may be saved at the present time? Yes. But when Jesus returns, I would ask you this question. Are you in the right church right now? Nobody can answer that except you. Unto him be glory in the church. The church is ecclesia. It's a local visible assembly of scripturally baptized believers that are covenanted together to carry out the Great Commission once delivered to the local church. There was only one church organized by Jesus. It was a local church. There was no universal invisible church. The only universal invisible church that has ever been created has been the Roman Catholic Church, and they have spread their children into many others. When I came here, I was faced with a dilemma. Am I supposed to preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Yes, I am. And I'm telling you that you do not have to be in one of God's local churches to be one of his children. You do not. But I will tell you, when Jesus returns, wherever you are, whatever church you're in, it had better be one that Jesus considers his church, because it has a great deal to do not with whether you go to heaven so much, but what kind of rewards you're going to receive in heaven when you get there. You ever wonder why there are churches are so small in number, that don't have a lot of entertainment, that don't have a lot of paganism, that don't have a lot of different things that you're supposed to do, that don't have a lot of color and glory and honor in them? It's because the first churches weren't like that at all. They were churches that worshiped in spirit and in truth, and Jesus kept telling them, they kept asking. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what you see on the screen. I believe he is the way, the truth, and the life. I believe he saved me when I was young. I believe that he taught me about the local church. The Catholic Church is a church that people that are in it, that are believers, should come out of it. And they should worship God in a church that is still preaching the teeth and teaching the truth. Now, I had a choice when I came here. Which way are you going to go, Mac? I said, I'm going to go the way of truth. And here I am. Now, we're looking at some things that involve God's Word on the screen. I wanted you to see them for yourself. So as we look at the next, this is what I preached when I came here. I haven't changed what I preached at all. I have explained it in much greater detail than I did then. But I didn't even know how to put transparencies on a screen back then. Now, on the bottom of the other screen that have, or shall the earth be, let's take a look. And their soul delighteth in their abominations.
Did I put the wrong one up there?
No, I didn't say that.
I think I did. Because that was the... I bet I did, Daddy. Yeah.
Look down at the bottom. Oh. He says, behold, your house is left until you desolate. Keep on going down toward the bottom. And they shall fall away. Well, I'll just do the whole thing. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto him, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Slide this on down. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. That's interesting. Is there another way of saying that? How about all power in heaven and earth is given unto me? Is there a way that you can put it forward and say, there's nobody like, nothing like him, nobody like him? Where is the house that you built for me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at the word. You know what the first beatitude is? It's, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When you come to the realization that all power in heaven and earth is given unto God, would you not believe that he has left here the truth on the earth? He said, but I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way. So it's his way that we're looking for. I'm 84 years old. I fear the Lord. I revere the Lord. I have a contrite spirit toward the Lord. Where did I get it? God taught it to me. In the Old Testament, they sacrificed animals to the Lord. He that killeth an ox is as he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways. They have chosen their own ways. And their soul delighteth in their abominations. You're going to see something in the next couple of years, before the rapture occurs, and even, and many will continue to see it after the rapture, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. If you haven't been able to see from the world that exists around us, the conduct of human beings, even that they claim to be Christians, if you haven't noticed that their soul delighteth in their abominations, and their lives are filled with their delusions, he said, I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. How many people are repenting of their sins today? How many people are trying to change? How many people are going the wrong way instead of the right way? How many people are trying to follow the ways of Jesus? He said, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that which I delighted not in. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you and that cast you out for my name's sake. He's talking to the church here. Let your Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city. A voice from the temple. A voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense. Before she travailed, she brought forth, her pain came. Before she travailed, she brought forth, before her pain came. Israel's pain is yet to come. It will be horrible. You say, well, no, it will be horrible. She was delivered of a man-child. Then he asked some rhetorical questions. He said, who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. That's part of the first resurrection. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb and let the woman suffer in great pain there? Saith the Lord, rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her. I'm certainly looking forward to being there with Jerusalem. That's plural. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with all. That's ye, plural. All ye that love her. I love Jerusalem. Rejoice for joy with her. All ye that mourn for her. I mourn for what's coming for. But God is the one who controls all this. Therefore, that's the conclusion. Will he give them up? God gave them up. How long is that going to last? Until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. Lift that up just a little, Terry.